Okay. Thank you, brethren, for your participation this evening. Just remember, what time is breakfast? Breakfast at 7:30. Is there a roster or anything? Or? Okay. 7:30 for breakfast, and then we will start tomorrow's session at 9 a.m. So I will be sharing that as well, so I know to be here on time, because we will start on time tomorrow morning, whether you're here or not. Okay. Thank you, brethren. Second day of the, what is it officially called? The Nambour Convention still. Hope you all had a good evening. Well rested, well fed this morning. Eager and willing to enjoy a feast of fat things today. We might just start with the singing again to get you loosened up a bit. And we'll look at 227 in the Bible Student Hymnal, 227, 165 in the Dawn. Love divine, all love excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Thou hast made with us thy dwelling, love doth all thy favors crown. Okay, if you'll be upstanding. Brother David Walchuk to come forward and from Elm and off the ask for blessings for our morning service. Thank you, David.
Dearest Father in heaven, thank you so much, Lord, for allowing us to be here with our brethren, for studying your word, for getting more insight into what you want from us and directions how we should live. Please, Lord, forgive us where we fall short, for our sins, for our trespasses, for our weaknesses. Please help us all on the narrow way so that we can be faithful to the ends of our lives. Please, Lord, bless the studies and discourses today. Bless our time together and open our hearts and minds to your truth. Please help us to be a witness wherever we are, and especially help us in our work with our youth, with our children, so they likewise can come onto the narrow way. Please be with all your people here, Lord, and wherever they may be, everything according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay. Thank you, brethren. We'll Now, ask Brother Robert Martin. You're still in Mudgee, aren't you now? Of Mudgee, New South Wales, to come forward and give us his thoughts. His address is titled, While in the Wilderness. Brother Robin.
Yes, thank you, Brother Don. And we ask a blessing, of course, to be upon the convention here. It's wonderful to see you all again. You know, it really is unfortunate. My sister wishes to be excused today. She's very unwell. She was really looking forward to being here. But it's just one of those things you can't do anything about. She just can't be with us. So, sorry about that. Just briefly to begin with, we mention again that we are here today in our varying capacities because we have been prompted by the Holy Spirit. Also that we are here to further His glory and not our own. We will quote a few words from David, 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 16. And David the king came and sat before the Lord and said, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is mine house, that thou hast brought me hitherto? And who indeed, and what, after all, is a vapour in the presence of a God who has displayed such power and magnificence? David concludes, nonetheless, in verse 18, that God knows his servants. You know, when we pause and think about the nation of Israel, virtually their entire existence has been spent in captivity, either in the early days in Egypt or wandering in the wilderness or later in Babylon, or indeed, as we know, dispersed for nearly 2,000 years after the greatest transgression of all time, when indeed the Lord's blood was on their hands. However, during all this time, He has been dealing with them in one way or another, even going back as far as Noah. He had faith in God, and God spared him and his family from the flood. Genesis 6:1-7. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 8 there of 6 Genesis. Later in Genesis 17, when he spoke to Abraham and said in verses 6-7, I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee. In their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. So we see there really the very early beginning of God's ongoing dealings with one people. And one of the essential key points about those whom he has such dealings or arrangements with is faith in him. There are two other key points or qualities that God is looking for in his people and indeed in mankind, and one is obedience, the other is loyalty. So, of course, this is where the real problem lies, isn't it? Even in the Garden of Eden, Adam had no problem with faith, after all. There was only him and his Creator who spoke to him on a regular basis. The real question in Eden was, could Adam walk the line? So anyway, getting back to Abraham. Now, as we know, God had told Abraham that he would make him a father of many nations. Genesis 17:5. Yet in this matter, he and his wife Sarah colluded, and in verse 3 of Genesis 16, she instructed Abraham to take Hagar, the maid, to produce an heir. The result of which was Ishmael. So here we have people of faith who he was dealing with not following the program. So the Heavenly Father found it necessary to dispatch 3 messengers to go and discuss the integrity of Plan A with these people of faith. And we find them somewhere in the wilderness at Abraham's tent. Where they spoke to Abraham and said, in verse 10 of Genesis 18, there the Lord says to him, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Verse 12 of Genesis 18 says that Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am old, shall I have the pleasure? My Lord, her husband, Abraham, being old also? Verse 13 reveals that the Lord heard Sarah laugh within herself, doubting, of course, that this would happen, and in essence was really absurd. Therefore, in verse 14 to 15 of Genesis 18, the Lord says, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, Sarah shall have a son. Verse 15, Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. So people of faith need to remember that the Lord hears every thought, has recorded every deed, and knows every motive. And after their dealings with Abraham and Sarah there, the Lord's messengers went down to assess the situation in Sodom and Gomorrah. The report wasn't very good, as we know. However, returning now to the father of many nations and his wife, in verse 2 of 21 Genesis, where we were told God was true to his word, and Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age indeed, and his name was Isaac, the son of promise. So now Abraham had a difficult task on his hands, to send out the bondwoman and her son. Verse 14 of 21 Genesis. The Lord attended to the needs of Hagar and her son, recorded in verses 17 to 21 of chapter 21 Genesis, and we see them doing really quite well unto this present day. Anyhow, God was in all this testing Abraham's faith, obedience, and loyalty. And this was all done out there in the wilderness without mobile phones, computers, or a land of his own. And the time came for another test. And we would ask a question here just how important would his son Isaac be to him by now? You know, considering all things unto this point, for in verse 2 of 22 Genesis, the Lord instructed Abraham to take the cherished son of his union with his wife of many years, a child indeed like no other, and offer him, this child of love and promise, as a burnt offering on the mountains of Moriah. Well, how do you reckon one of us would go with it? Well, I myself know nothing of these things. Do I? But some of you might know what sort of a call it was. Some might even question, what are a man's priorities after all, really? But the Genesis 22 account shows that Abraham went ahead and did as he was instructed. Verses 9 to 13 shows his unbelievable obedience and loyalty, and shows also that God did not abuse his power over the man and provided an animal for the sacrifice. Abraham walked the line there. And passed with flying colours, so to speak. To the extent that in verses 16 to 18 of 22 Genesis, God declared unto him, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. It has been shown to us who live in this day, an age of brilliance of light, shining upon his word, the true and full extent of the words that he spoke to Abraham at that time. For we see here the two salvations, the first resurrection that Paul speaks of in 1 Corinthians 15, and the salvation of the whole of mankind. This was assured by the Lord Jesus' sacrifice at Calvary. Moving on now from Abraham, we see the two sons of Isaac, Jacob and Esau, the latter being described as a cunning hunter in verse 27 and 25 Genesis, and Jacob being described as a man happy not to leave the campsite, or dwelling in tents, I think the words were. We see there the account of Esau selling Jacob his birthright in verses 29 to 34. For Esau had no interest in such things. We find later in chapter 27 of Genesis, Isaac being old and near to his time, wanting to pass on to his eldest son a blessing. In this 27th chapter of Genesis is described the substituting of Jacob for Esau, the blind or nearly blind father, Isaac touching what he thought was his hairy eldest son. And Rebekah had unwittingly carried out what appears to be the Lord's will in the matter. There was a strife now between the brothers. and it became necessary for Jacob to flee. Jacob had many experiences in his travels. He is the man you will recall, who worked two separate seven-year periods to marry the girl he really wanted. Her name was Rachel. Where are such men today, I hear you ask? Anyway, our particular interest in Jacob at this point in time is because of two very interesting encounters with God's messengers. The first took place soon after he had left his parents' house and the wrath of his brother. And we read of that from verse 11 to verse 16 of chapter 28 Genesis. There the word says, "And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. And the land whereon thou liest, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again to this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep and said, Surely the Lord must be in this place, and I knew it not. Therefore, we also could observe how many places we have been, the Lord was there, and we knew it not. He is with us here today also. The other experience apparently took place some time after he had to flee again, this time from his father-in-law, whose name was Laban. Jacob had prospered greatly in those years. And by now, Laban's attitude toward him had changed. The other experience is where Jacob was anxiously waiting to meet his brother Esau, who previously had intended to kill him over the birthright issue. However, this happily turned out to be a reconciliation. So anyhow, there he was waiting near the brook. And we read from verses 24 to 28 of chapter 32 of Genesis. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Surely we see a pattern emerging by now, a continual pattern of God's dealings with a particular type of people, a God-fearing people, at times known of and chosen yet while in the womb, a race he could call his own, even though there was as yet no land they had to possess. A race of people indeed, known of down through the centuries unto this day as the Israelites. Time does not permit us to dwell so closely now with these earlier people of God's. However, let us mention Joseph, Jacob's son, the boy who had visions from God. Hated by his brothers, sold into slavery, and became a ruler over all the land of Egypt. And sometime later, still we see the birth of Moses, known as one of the Hebrews, chapter 2, Exodus, verses 5 to 10. The baby retrieved from the river by Pharaoh's daughter, probably one of the most well-known Old Testament stories. So Moses, finally assisted by God, leads his people out of Egypt, a story told to us as children. The Ten Commandments and all the wandering in the wilderness. The many laws. The Levite priests. The tabernacle sacrifices, etc. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers and Deuteronomy. Many things were done during this period. Many things were established during all this time, and one thing that became rather obvious was that although they were the children of Israel, yet God declared them to be a stiff-necked people, and they greatly tried his patience. Many times he had to strongly discipline them. Yet, they seemed not to learn the lessons therein. Moses' life was totally consumed in leading and guiding them and doing God's will. And let us take note that so also it will be for all those who diligently serve him during this period of evil and testing. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. For after all, who are we today, those few of us who are left, following his word, meeting together, if we be not prospective spiritual Israelites? Yes, as Paul points out in Romans chapter 11, we heard of this yesterday, because of natural Israel's unbelief, we, of the faith seed of Abraham, have been grafted into God's arrangement. Verses 19 to 21 of chapter 11 of Romans. The branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest also he spare not thee. The nation of Israel was unbelieving and in great error when they were visited by the Son of Man. Therefore, this great offer to be one of his went out to all the world. Nonetheless, we see Paul's warning there. He could cut us off. For like they, we are a people wandering in the wilderness, a wilderness of sin, depravity, disobedience, death and destruction. We too are in captivity in Babylon, modern Babylon. For the whole world is corrupt in the eyes of the Lord. Although we seek a homeland that we shall not possess while in the flesh. For we, by his grace and power, have seen through the eye of faith the glories of the heavenly kingdom. For this was Christ's message, although often spoken in parables or in a mysterious manner. His message was heard by the meek, the poor in spirit, the broken, and those that were out of the way, the fools of this world. But to the proud, the boastful, the smart Alex, he had no message at all. They wouldn't have been interested. For he has said in chapter 8 of Luke, verse 10, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Here again we must quote the great apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verses 7 to 14. There Paul says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things we also speak, not in the words of which of man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. We have to leave it there, friends. We therefore thank him for his many blessings, especially for opening our eyes to his great truth. We ask that he continues to guide us while we are in captivity in modern Babylon's vast wilderness, and that by his grace we may be able to see him in all his glory and have an eternal friendship with our Heavenly Father and his beloved Son. We thank you very much for listening, and amen.
Thank you, Brother Robin. We know that the our Heavenly Father has given us many examples to follow, and to we're all human, aren't we? So we can see even they weren't perfect, but they we know that He is forgiving of us. Brother Robin has chosen hymn 140 in the Bible Student, 97 in the Dawn, to go with his thoughts. How sweet to leave the world a while and seek the presence of our Lord. Dear Savior, on thy people smile, draw near according to thy word. Thank you.